Please note that this episode contains information about child pornography, child sexual abuse, violent crimes, sexual harassment, and sexual assault that some listeners might find disturbing.
Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Trailblazing Love. Are you looking for a unique and thrilling date night experience with your significant other? Look no further than Trailblazing Love. Our outdoor adventure boxes are designed to provide couples with an unforgettable experience in nature. Each box is carefully curated with a variety of activities and surprises, from guided hikes to stargazing to gourmet snacks and drinks. Whether you're a seasoned outdoors enthusiast or just looking to try something new, our boxes offer something for everyone. Best of all, our boxes can be enjoyed anywhere, from a local park to a remote wilderness area. Simply choose your location and let the adventure begin. So why not spice up your next date night with Trailblazing Love? Order your box today and get ready for an unforgettable outdoor adventure with your loved one. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes. Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Engage AI. Join over 15,000 LinkedIn power users and supercharge your social selling with Engage AI. Imagine effortlessly writing insightful comments that break the ice and build relationships with prospects. With Engage AI as your comment writing assistant, you'll save precious time while achieving conversions with every added touchpoint. Give Engage AI a spin and transform your LinkedIn conversations into powerful conversion tools today. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes.
Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from the Racing Recap. Are you a Formula One fan but can't keep up with all the news? We created a weekly email that gets you up to date in 5 minutes. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes.
Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Every Week. Join over 34,000 dropshippers discovering top 10 winning products every week. Our AI, Zora, analyzes over 1 billion data points weekly to help you succeed. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes. Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Sesame Care. Find the best price for the highest quality physicians. Book an appointment in minutes for as low as $19. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes. Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Shut the Box Dice Game. Dating back to 12th century France, sailors cherished playing Shut the Box game. In modern times, whether you're camping with friends or relaxing with family, you'll have endless fun with this easy-to-learn game. Buy two, get one free, plus free shipping within the United States. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes. Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Snake River Farms. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or a beginner to beef, the pioneers of American Wagyu have got you covered with $25 off your order. Receive $25 off orders of over $149 with code SWAPSRF at Snake River Farms. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes. Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Software. Software lets you stop waiting for developers so that you can build software without devs, blazingly fast. It is trusted by over 100,000 teams worldwide. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes. Support for the Cybercase Files podcast comes from Deel. Compliantly hire anyone, anywhere, in 5 minutes with Deel. Deel is your one-stop shop for hiring, paying, and managing your remote team. We stay on top of local labor laws across the world to ensure compliance and mitigate risk so that you don't have to. You can find out more in the links in the episode show notes.
Hello, my name is Bide Miolugunde, and you're listening to episode 16 of the Cybercase Files podcast. On this episode, I'll discuss the following cases of fraud, cybercrime, and sex and human trafficking. First, a Jamaican national pleaded guilty to mail and wire fraud, conniving a sweepstakes scam aimed at seniors. Second, in Texas, three Cubans faced sentencing for their involvement in sex trafficking within strip clubs. Third, a Virginia man received punishment for producing child pornography. Next, a former journalist confessed to transporting and possessing child sexual abuse material. And lastly, a business owner, pleaded guilty to selling counterfeit telephone system software licenses. Thank you for your time. Let's get to it. Part 1. Damon D. Oakley. In a landmark case in Pennsylvania, Damon D. Oakley, a 41-year-old man hailing from the Point District in Jamaica, admitted to fraud charges in a U.S. court on July 12. His trial took place in the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of Pennsylvania after he was extradited from Jamaica. Oakley was found guilty of mail and wire fraud, both charges stemming from an elaborate sweepstakes scam, primarily targeting older people. The fraud involved convincing victims that they had won extravagant prizes, such as millions of dollars or luxury cars. However, to claim these non-existent prizes, they were required to pay hefty taxes and fees. So taking on various aliases, including Officer Alex Logan and Officer Stan Valentine, Oakley contacted victims through mail, text messages, or phone calls, providing detailed instructions on how to send their money. He was the mastermind of a convoluted network that involved middlemen in the US and beyond, helping him get his ill-gotten gains. The money, sometimes in the form of costly electronics, jewelry, or clothing, was typically forwarded from Florida to Oakley in Jamaica. As a result of these deceits, victims were duped out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Oakley's case marked the first extradition request made by the U.S. under Jamaica's revised Extradition Act. This signals the ongoing commitment of the Department of Justice to combat fraud that preys on vulnerable citizens, no matter the location of the culprits. U.S. Attorney Gerard M. Karam for the Middle District of Pennsylvania emphasized that the outcome of this case underscored their resolve to safeguard elderly citizens and punish those exploiting them. Similarly, Eric Shen, the inspector in charge of the U.S. Postal Inspection Service's Criminal Investigations Group, reiterated their commitment to pursuing those who used mail services for fraudulent activities. The U.S. Postal Inspection Service investigated the case with significant assistance from the U.S. Marshals Service and the Justice Department's Office of International Affairs, OIA. The OIA worked closely with Jamaican law enforcement to facilitate Oakley's arrest and extradition. Senior Litigation Counsel Linda I. Marks of the Department of Justice's Civil Division Consumer Protection Branch and Assistant U.S. Attorney Kristen Hogsby for the Middle District of Pennsylvania are spearheading the prosecution. A national hotline, 1-833-FRAUD-11, managed by the U.S. Department of Justice's Office of Victims of Crime, is available for those aged 60 or older who are falling victim to financial fraud. This hotline offers support, guidance, and resources for reporting and recovering from such crimes. The service operates 7 days a week and provides support in multiple languages. Again, that number is 1-833-372-8311. 1-833-372-8311. Part 2. Raciel Gutierrez Moreno, Henry Jimenez Milanes, and Rafael Mendoza Labrada. In Houston, Texas, three Cuban men were convicted on July 13 for their heinous roles in a notorious sex trafficking ring operating within local strip clubs. The culprits, namely Raciel Gutierrez Moreno, age 38, Henry Jimenez Milanes, age 39, and Rafael Mendoza Labrada, aged 29, were handed prison sentences of 210 months, 120 months, and time served of 34 months, respectively. In addition, each of them was ordered to pay substantial restitution amounts reflecting their ill-gotten gains from this trafficking operation. Gutierrez Moreno, the kingpin of the operation, confessed to coercing Cuban women to travel to the U.S. Under the pretext of repayment for their hefty smuggling debts, sometimes up to $30,000, he forced these women into sexually exploitative work at Houston strip clubs, one such being Michael's International. The income earned from their sexual services to club customers was directed to Moreno's pockets, thereby reducing their so-called debts. Moreno admitted to victimizing approximately 20 women in this horrifying manner. He also confessed to using fear as a tool of control over his victims. He would openly flaunt his violent behavior, ensuring his victims knew what he was capable of if they stepped out of line. In one chilling incident, one victim was made to witness the aftermath of an assault on another woman, thereby sowing the seeds of fear. When one of his victims escaped, Moreno resorted to intimidation, contacting her family in Miami and Cuba and demanding her return to service her debt. Co-defendants Jimenez Milanes and Mendoza Labrada also pleaded guilty to charges related to coercion, enticement, and aiding in racketeering. Reacting to the verdict, Assistant Attorney General Christine Clark, who represents the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, remarked, quote, "The defendants' cruel methods of employing violence, threats, and fake debts to force vulnerable victims into commercial sex work are not just illegal, but they are also degrading and terrorizing," end quote. She assured that the Justice Department was deeply committed to aggressive prosecution against such exploiters. U.S. Attorney Alamdar S. Hamdani for the Southern District of Texas added, quote, "The defendants exploited vulnerable migrants in search of a better life by using a blend of psychological threats, sexual violence, and Houston's strip clubs for their monetary gain. The stern sentences handed down underscore our district's zero tolerance policy for smugglers and abusers," end quote. The Department of State's Diplomatic Security Service, DSS, Houston Field Office, and Homeland Security Investigations, HSI Miami, both involved in the investigation, echoed the commitment to justice and the relentless pursuit of those engaged in human trafficking. They emphasized their dedication to not only the identification and recovery of victims, but also to ensuring necessary resources are available to them for coping with their experiences. The DSS, HSI Miami, and the Department of Labor, Wage, and Hour Division jointly investigated this case as part of the Human Trafficking Rescue Alliance, HTRA. The HTRA, which is a collaborative endeavor launched by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Houston in 2004, combines the strengths of federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies, prosecutors, and service organizations to dismantle trafficking networks while providing crucial services to the survivors. HTRA's innovative model has earned recognition at both national and international levels. The prosecution was undertaken by Assistant U.S. Attorney Sherry Zack for the Southern District of Texas and Trial Attorney Kate Hill of the Civil Rights Division's Human Trafficking Prosecution Unit. If you suspect someone may be a victim of human trafficking, please don't hesitate to contact local law enforcement or the confidential National Human Trafficking Hotline at 1-888-373-7888. That's 1-888-373-7888. This hotline is available 24/7. 3. Vincent Sarike. On July 18, a Virginia man faced the consequences of his despicable actions in a courtroom. Vincent Sarike, a 35-year-old former resident of Herndon, Virginia, was sentenced to 25 years in prison for his involvement in producing child sexual abuse material, CSAM. According to court documents, Sarike lured a vulnerable 15-year-old girl into generating CSAM, which he later disseminated to other perpetrators using Telegram, a popular messaging platform. In a chilling incident from April 2018, he attempted to manipulate a self-proclaimed 12-year-old girl living in Argentina into creating similar material. Although the brave girl warned Sarike about the criminal nature of his request and refused to comply, he distressingly shared two explicit videos with the girl in a failed bid to convince her otherwise. A darker side of Sarike emerged between October 2015 and July 2017. Court documents revealed conversations between Sarike and a friend where he expressed his depraved interest in children. He discussed his attempt to approach, groom, and harm children and shockingly blamed his victims for his reprehensible behavior. Moreover, Sarike's devices held a disturbing collection of over 20,000 images and 500 videos of CSAM, 486 of which were identified as known collection of identifiable victims. While pleading guilty to sexual exploitation of children, Sarike is also facing additional charges in the Southern District of Indiana. Allegations there suggest that he sexually abused a child and used that child to generate CSAM nearly 15 years ago. The announcement of the verdict was made by Assistant Attorney General Kenneth A. Paulette Jr. of the Justice Department's Criminal Division, U.S. Attorney Jessica D. Aber for the Eastern District of Virginia, Assistant Director Luis Quesada of the FBI's Criminal Investigative Division, and Assistant Director in Charge David Sonberg of the FBI Washington Field Office. The FBI's Washington Field Office spearheaded the investigative work leading up to the trial. The prosecution team consisted of trial attorney Mackenzie Hightower of the Criminal Division's Child Exploitation and Obscenity Section and Assistant U.S. Attorney Laura D. Withers for the Eastern District of Virginia. This case is part of a broader initiative, Project Safe Childhood, launched by the Department of Justice in May 2006. This nationwide project aims to combat child sexual exploitation and abuse by harnessing the power of federal, state, and local resources. It is dedicated to tracking down and prosecuting online child exploiters and works tirelessly to identify and rescue victims. More information about Project Safe Childhood can be found at www.justice.gov/psc. www.justice.gov/psc. Part 4. James Gordon Meek. In a regrettable turn of events on July 21, a former journalist, 53-year-old James Gordon Meek of Arlington, Virginia, confessed to the despicable crime of transporting and possessing materials related to child sexual abuse. During a trip to South Carolina in early 2020, Meek used his iPhone to engage in a chilling exchange that involved sending, receiving, and discussing sexually explicit content featuring minors via an online messaging platform. The offensive content, which featured children under the age of 12, even included an infant being subjected to sexual abuse. On returning to Virginia, Meek carried with him the iPhone that contained those illicit materials. Meek, now deemed guilty, is expected to face the consequences of his actions on September 29. He could spend anywhere from 5 years to 40 years in prison, The duration will be determined by a federal district judge who will consider U.S. sentencing guidelines and other statutory factors. Kenneth A. Pollard Jr., Assistant Attorney General of the Justice Department's Criminal Division, Jessica D. Aber, U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, and David Sundberg, Assistant Director in Charge of the FBI Washington Field Office, collectively made the public announcement. The case continues to be investigated by the FBI Washington Field Office's Child Exploitation and Human Trafficking Task Force. This body consists of FBI agents, other federal agents, and detectives from Northern Virginia and the District of Columbia. Their purpose is to delve into and level federal charges against individuals involved in child exploitation and human trafficking. The Arlington County Police Department also provided support for the investigation. Whitney Kramer, trial attorney of the Criminal Division's Child Exploitation and Obscenity Section, and Zoe Bedell, Assistant U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, are prosecuting the case. This case is part of a broader initiative called Project Safe Childhood. Launched in May 2006 by the Department of Justice, this nationwide initiative is designed to fight the widespread issue of child sexual exploitation and abuse. Spearheaded by U.S. Attorney's offices and the Child Exploitation and Obscenity Section, it mobilizes federal, state, and local resources to locate, apprehend, and prosecute those who exploit children online and to rescue victims. Further information about Project Safe Childhood can be accessed at www.justice.gov/psc. That's www.justice.gov/psc. Part 5. Jason M. Hines, Brad Pierce, and Dusty Pierce. On July 28, in the Western District of Oklahoma, a man from New Jersey named Jason M. Hines admitted his role in an international racket selling unauthorized business telephone software licenses. The grand scale of the operation resulted in the illicit sale of licenses worth over $88 million US dollars. Court records reveal that Hines, who also goes by Joe Brown, Chad Johnson, and Justin Albom, is a 43-year-old resident of Caldwell. Together with his co-conspirators, Brad Pierce and his wife, Dusty Pierce, who jointly operated under the alias Terry Jenkins, Hines conducted wire fraud. They orchestrated the creation and sale of illicit Avaya Direct International Software Licenses, ADI. These licenses were crucial for unlocking features on a widely used telephone system by businesses across the globe. The ADI licensing system has since been shut down. So the parent company of this product, Avaya Holdings Corporation, is a multinational business communications firm based in California. It produced the IP Office product, a telephone system popular with small to mid-sized businesses both domestically and internationally. Customers would have to purchase software licenses from an authorized Avaya distributor to unlock additional features like voicemail on IP Office. Avaya would generate these licenses and use software keys to control access to their copyrighted software and ensure that only paying customers could utilize it. Hines ran Direct Business Services International, DBSI, a New Jersey firm offering business communication system, which was also a previously authorized Avaya reseller. Hines purchased ADI license keys from the Pierces and sold them globally to other resellers and end users. Brad Pierce, an Avaya customer service veteran, allegedly abused his system administrator privileges to create these keys without permission, generating tens of thousands of them for sale to Hines and others. His wife, Dusty Pierce, reportedly managed the financials for their illegal operation. Hines was their largest customer, buying over 55% of the pirated licenses, and he significantly shaped the course of the operation. As one of the most significant users of the ADI license system globally, Hines made millions from the scam. So following his guilty plea to conspiracy to commit wire fraud, the US government has agreed not to push for more than a 5-year prison sentence. Sentencing has not yet been scheduled. As per the plea agreement, Hines is obliged to forfeit at least $2 million and provide full restitution to his victims. A federal district court judge will determine the final sentence after considering U.S. sentencing guidelines and other statutory considerations. The news of Hines' guilty plea was announced by Assistant Attorney General Kenneth A. Polite Jr. of the Justice Department's Criminal Division, U.S. Attorney Robert J. Troister for the Western District of Oklahoma, and Special Agent in Charge Edward J. Gray of the FBI Oklahoma City Field Office. The FBI is currently investigating the case with Senior Counsel Matthew A. Lamberti of the Criminal Division's Computer Crime and Intellectual Property Section and Assistant U.S. Attorneys Julia E. Barry and William Forrier for the Western District of Oklahoma leading the prosecution. So to wrap up on this episode, I discussed several high-stakes issues spanning across diverse regions and areas of criminal activity. I began by examining the story of a Jamaican national who pleaded guilty to an intricate sweepstakes scheme that preyed on the elderly through fraudulent mail and wire communications. Shifting our focus to Texas, I delved into the case of three Cuban nationals brought to justice for their roles in sex trafficking crimes. Next, I talked about the chilling case of a man who was sentenced for his involvement in the production of child pornography, reminding us of the persistent fight against such heinous crimes. In the subsequent segment, I discussed a former journalist's shocking fall from grace as he pleaded guilty to transporting and possessing material related to child sexual abuse. Finally, I talked about the complex global enterprise orchestrated by a business owner who found himself on the wrong side of the law. He pleaded guilty to a massive scheme that involved selling pirated software licenses for business telephone systems, thereby unraveling a world of high-tech crime. So that's all I have for this episode 16 of the Cyber Case Files podcast. Thanks for listening.